You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men, and we want to help you young men, Generation Z, we want to help you grow and mature in your faith. And one of the ways that we've been trying to do that is we're on part three of a three-part series of Does Church Membership Really Matter? Maybe some of you think that we need to go back into time to the beginning of America to find out what churches used to be like. Maybe you think Jonathan Edwards was the perfect pastor. I mean, he studied the Bible like 18 hours a day. Or maybe you've thought, as you think about church membership and you're thinking about church, that we've got to get back to the Reformation. You know, we got to get back to the five solas, and that's all good and well. I mean, maybe you've even thought at times, man, we got to get back to the church in Acts. You've even been talking a lot about the Acts chapter 2, beginning of the church, and the Acts, the churches in the New Testament. And there is so much that we're learning about the church, but it is far from perfect, right? Do you remember what happened in Acts chapter 5 when God killed Ananias and Sapphira at church for lying, right? Or how about the church of Corinth when they were taking communion in an unholy manner and some of them died? What about the seven churches of Revelation that we've mentioned, the church of Laodicea that was lukewarm, and because they were neither hot nor cold, Jesus said, I will spew you, literally the word there is, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And so what we're saying is the churches, even in the Bible, had problems. The churches in the Reformation had problems. Churches today have problems, but God has still called us as Christians to be a part of the church. You are not to be a Lone Ranger Christian. You are to live your spiritual life in connection with others, right? You're not to be in isolation, and it's not healthy for you to jump from church to church to church like a frog jumping on lily pads. I don't know. You've got to find a church, and you got to plug in. And so my desire is to continue to help you understand why church membership really matters. We've been looking at five principles. Number one, there is a difference between the universal church and the local church. There's a difference between the visible church attenders and the invisible church, those who truly have Christ in their hearts. Number two, the description of the local church is an assembly of believers. It's an opportunity there to practice to one another's, and it's a place to be shepherded. Number three, the difficulty of a lack of emphasis on membership. I think one of the big hard problems is the culture doesn't emphasize membership, and even the Christian culture. And so the question comes up, who's shepherding who, or who's accountable to who? And then last time, we looked at number four, the decision to join as a member of a local church. And we talked about you got to have biblical theology in preaching, biblical theology in worship, and a biblical theology of participating and serving in ministries of the local church. Let me move on to another aspect. Not only is there biblical theology, but there's the biblical emphasis on the ordinances of the church. And I'm talking here about baptism, communion, as well as church discipline. It's important for you to be a part of a local body where these ordinances are being practiced. You know, I mean, sometimes when I'm teaching a new membership class at our church, I try to remind people that this is something that Jesus taught about. He taught us about the local church. In fact, the first place in the Bible where the word church shows up is Jesus himself asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then here it is. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church. So obviously, Jesus believes in the church. And I would make the argument that that picture of the church on this rock, Peter saying, you are the Christ, Son of the living God, on this rock, I'll build my church. That's a universal aspect to anyone who's in Christ. And yet Jesus also teaches the local church. And he does that in Matthew chapter 18, where he says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. But if he listens to you, you've gained your brother. That's step one of church discipline. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. That's step two. And if he refuses to them, you ready? Tell it to the church. So here's Jesus teaching about the concept of the local church. The universal church exists, all those who are in Christ, but the local church also exists where shepherds are to be shepherding, preaching the Bible, and I'm saying to you, practicing the ordinances of the church. And I'm telling you that the ordinances of the church are baptism and the Lord's table. Those are the two ordinances practiced by most evangelical churches. And you say, well, what do you mean they're ordinances? Some people call them sacraments, but the Catholic Church sometimes confuses that with infusing grace. And so I like to call them ordinances. It's Jesus ordained or he commanded these certain practices to be done within the confines of a local church. The first is baptism. Matthew 28, 19, Jesus says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so right there we see that part of the local church is to be practicing the ordinances of baptism, to be baptized. I believe that means by immersion, because that's what the word baptizo means, to be dipped, to be immersed in water as a believer. And then secondly, not only is there baptism, but there's communion or the Lord's table. Jesus taught us about this in Matthew 26, 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread. After blessing it, he broke it and gave to the disciples, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when they had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And so I like to think of baptism as the first ordinance that ought to be done fairly early in your genuine Christian life. So let me ask you, young man, have you been baptized as a believer by immersion? And then the second ordinance is the Lord's table. Are you participating in the Lord's table? Now, at our church, you have to become a member to do both of these. You have to become a member of our church, which means we take you through the gospel, we take you through the distinctives of our church, and then we say, if you're truly a Christian, then you should want to obey what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then we just read here that Jesus says you need to be baptized and you should be participating in the Lord's table. It's not healthy for you to participate in the Lord's table on a regular basis if you're not willing to be baptized. It's not helpful for you to be baptized if you're not willing to be a member of a local church. So we see all of these things tied together, and with that also comes the practice of church discipline. So I would say to you, as you're trying to pick a church, do you understand the right view of the ordinances of baptism, of the Lord's table? Those are the two. But also, I would ask, is it a church that practices church discipline? If that church is not practicing church discipline, then I have concerns about the overall health of that church. And so again, we're talking about biblical theology. We're talking about biblical emphasis on the ordinances. And then third, is there a biblical emphasis on the shepherding of the body? Now, I won't take a long time here because we've talked so much about this, but we're saying there should be a great emphasis. I recently heard about a church where the pastor says, I'm the preaching pastor. I am not a shepherding pastor. To which I would say about that, then you're not a pastor at all. The word pastor itself literally means, the word poimen means to feed. It means to protect. It means that you teach for sure. So a pastor should be teaching, but it's also literally, it's the word shepherding. And in order to shepherd, it's feeding, it's leading, it's protecting, it's encouraging, it's knowing your sheep. And so if somebody were to say, well, I'm the preaching pastor, but I don't do a whole lot of counseling or I don't do a whole lot of shepherding, that's very unhealthy. And I think we've established that in many ways, right? In fact, in Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, and help the weak, but be patient with them all. Or how about Matthew 28:18? Again, the Great Commission, all authority has been given me on heaven and earth. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. So what I'm saying is all these passages are saying that a pastor, an elder, is not just teaching, they are admonishing the flock, they are encouraging the faint-hearted, they are teaching everyone to observe everything that's been commanded. They're teaching people to follow the principle of Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. So again, I'm just asking you, is the church that you're trying to pick, does it preach the gospel? That's great. Do they practice the church ordinances of baptism and communion and also, I believe, church discipline? That's great. Those are real important. But do they not only preach the word, do they shepherd the flock? Notice the senior pastor. Notice the associate pastors. Notice the elders. Do they make themselves available? Are they involved in discipling men in the church? Do they have several contacts where you can get together in a men's Bible study or one-on-one with an elder? You know, if you even tried to meet with the pastor, would he say, yeah, let's get together. I'd love to get to know you and see where you're at with the Lord. Or would he say, I'm so sorry, I'm too busy to meet with you? That would be a huge red flag to me. So I want to continue to encourage you to think about, does church membership matter? Don't go away, because when you come back, we'll complete a few final thoughts on the importance of church membership.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. But before we jump back in, let's pause here just a second and kind of name what's happening here. Dr. Tyson's not romanticizing church history. That's not what he's doing. He's actually calling you to obedience, present tense, right now. Because when he walks through the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's table and church discipline, he's not giving ritual trivia. He's showing us what it means to live inside the structure that Jesus has already built. This is what it looks like. That's why Fortis Institute exists. We're not a content factory, even though we produce a lot of content. It's actually a call to clarity. That's what Fortis Plus is, your daily connection point. 7 pieces of new content are added every single day. Biblical and bold, no fluff, just podcasts and news and theology and worldview, absolutely free of charge. There's no bait and switch. You're never going to be asked for your credit card number or to sign up for a free trial. No paywalls, no subscriptions, none of that. Just truth, all absolutely free. And you can download Fortis Plus right now, wherever it is you download your apps at, or you can go to fortisplus.org. And listen, if you're the kind of young man who's not just nodding along, but you're actually desiring to be formed and you're starting to think about the long game, might I recommend the Master's University? Real training for real life. Whether it's their new engineering program or their accounting program, who ranked in the top 3 in the state of California, by the way, they have professors who actually shepherd their students. You can check out all of the information right now at masters.edu/manhood. And one last thing, if Fortis Institute has helped you stand stronger, if Way of Manhood with Dr. Tyson has given you a voice of clarity, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We've been at this for over 25 years. We're not slowing down yet, have no plans to stop anytime soon, but we cannot do it alone. We need people just like you. And so if you're at a place where you're faithfully giving to your local church already and you're not strapped by any kind of unmanaged debt, would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the details about what it would look like in your life right now at fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. He's about to land the plane on why church membership is not optional. It's essential. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, where we've been talking about being a member of a local church. It really does matter, and it really matters that you pick a church that has shepherds that want to be part of the flock. I mean, I love what Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ. So a big part of the church is getting together for discipleship. And part of that discipleship is to teach you, young man, to equip you as a saint for the work of the ministry. Remember, we're not just attending church because it's a fun place to go on Sunday. And guys, you're not just going to church because there's a lot of young ladies there that you're interested in and you want to find a wife. Okay, you're going to church to love Christ, to hear the word of God preached, to worship together, to practice the one another's, to serve the body. And part of serving the body is, again, you need to be equipped for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. You hear me, young man? God's called you to grow up. And part of that growing up is be a part of a real church, okay? Don't just go to the mega church that's lots of fun and they got smoke and mirrors. Be discerning. Think through where you can join a church where the word is preached and where your soul will be shepherded. 5 major points to consider about joining a local church. And this moves us now to number 5, the decision to leave a local church. I mean, my goodness, if we're going to talk about the decision to pick a local church, let's talk for just a moment here about a decision to leave the local church. When should you leave the local church? Well, I think that you should leave the local church based on any obvious neglect of everything that we've talked about. So in other words, if the church is not preaching the gospel, if the church isn't biblically, theologically accurate, if the church isn't emphasizing worship, if the church isn't emphasizing biblical discipleship and missions and evangelism and serving one another, all these things, if there's some obvious, clear area of neglect, that might be a reason to leave the church. Now, again, I'm not saying that you should quickly identify the weakness of the church and say, I'm out of here, because not every church is perfect, as we've discussed. And so maybe God would use you to help the church be strengthened in an area where it's lacking. So for example, if you feel like your church doesn't do enough for outreach, maybe you think about, how could I start a backyard Bible club? How could I go to the park? And how could I do visitation around my neighborhood? You be a part of the solution, is what I'm saying. So again, decisions to leave a church, you should base that on any obvious neglect of what we've been discussing. A second reason to leave a church should be based on honest prayer and God's leading. Now, this is kind of subjective, and I kind of hesitate to say it this way, but sometimes people leave a church just because they believe it's just time for a change. I don't know how else to say it. When I first became a pastor, I thought, you can't leave the church unless you have a biblical reason. And if you have a biblical reason, then you may leave the church. But if you don't have a biblical reason, then you're a wimp if you ever leave this church for any other reason. I've kind of changed my view on that, man. I've kind of gotten a little softer, a little bit more normal. And so I try to fight and claw to get them to stay and be like, why are you going? You can't be doing that. And then as I've grown older and as I've just become more realistic, people come and go wherever they want. It's just the reality. In fact, somebody told me that every 5 years, the church turns over half. Half of its membership turns over every 5 years. And you know what? I've been at the church where I pastor, Placerita Bible Church, for 12 years. And I would say we've definitely gone over half at least twice. And so that's just the reality, right? Sometimes people decide that it might be better for us for reasons that are of a personal nature or of preference, or they just don't jive or grow under that man's preaching, or they just don't really feel like there's the right group for them to be involved in. Lots of people leave our church over something like, oh, well, I like the worship better over here. I like the college ministry better over here. I like the children's ministry better over here. This youth group has more kids in it. So again, I'm not saying that that's never to be done. I'm just saying, make sure you're being honest about praying about it, thinking through it. people probably do this too often and too flippantly. So I'm really challenging you that if you are going to make a change, because what if you get to that new church and 2 years later, they hire a new youth pastor that you don't like and you leave that church and you go to a different church. And a month later, they hire a new worship pastor, which you don't like, and you leave that church. You get what I'm saying? It's not really healthy to go from place to place to place. Let me give you a reason why you would not want to leave a church, and that would be if it's based on unresolved sin issues. A lot of people get offended by either something that was said, something that was done, or by another family in the church. Can I just encourage you? It is never a good thing for you to leave a church if you have unaddressed, unresolved sin issues, whether that be with the pastor or an elder or a ministry leader or another family. It would behoove you to first seek to resolve that problem before you move on. I mean, Matthew 5 makes it clear, leave your sacrifice at the altar and first go to that person and be reconciled to them. So it's not, the answer is not just leaving. I mean, unfortunately, I've been involved in a lot of counseling. If you want to leave our church, that's fine. But you cannot leave this church if you have unresolved, unaddressed sin. And that's where I roll up my sleeves. And I just say, hey, we're going to meet together and we're going to work through this issue and we're going to make sure we're right with God and we're right with each other. And if you want to leave after that, again, that's up to you, but don't go in a sinful mindset. Okay. Another thing I would say here, so we've talked about you can leave a church if there's obvious neglect. You can leave a church if you believe God's leading you. You shouldn't leave a church if it's based on an unresolved issue. And I would just say, lastly here, you should communicate what you're thinking to your elders, preferably before you make a final decision. If you're really struggling at the church, just meet with your pastor, meet with your elders and say, hey, I've been a member here for X number of years. I've really appreciated these different things, but at this stage of my life, I'm just really struggling. And I wanted to get your input because I'm considering maybe visiting a different church. Now, again, if you come talk to me about that, I'm going to challenge you a little bit, but I'm also going to free you up where you can leave without having a guilty conscience. I guess I would say what I don't really appreciate is when people just come into my office, Pastor, I wanted to let you know I'm leaving the church. Prayed about it. We made a decision. This is our last Sunday. We're out of here. Well, what do you want me to say to that? I mean, at that point, I don't have any opportunity to influence you to consider staying. I used to try to get people to stay. And I would say, well, why are you really leaving? And they would tell me, oh, we just think it's time for a change. Well, why are you really leaving? And they would say, oh, we don't like your preaching. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, or we don't like the youth ministry, or we don't like the women's ministry. Or, you know, and I'm like, okay, I get it. I don't need to know all the details because I don't know if it's really helpful. At first, I thought it might be helpful, but sometimes I'm like, I'm not sure it's really helpful for that sour person who's leaving to just kind of throw the kitchen sink at you. Again, if they're able to be kind and gracious, just to say it's a strong preference to be somewhere else for this season of our life. But I think what I'm getting at is just talk to them. Why not before you make a final decision, just during the struggle? If they are your pastors and elders, aren't they your spiritual authorities? And shouldn't you be making that decision together with their input? And that doesn't mean you can't leave, but I'm just saying, communicate with them what you're thinking, and hopefully God will give wisdom and grace to make the decision that you believe best honors the Lord. And so what's some of the take-home practical applications of this three-part series? Well, I would encourage every regular attender to become a formal member of a church. Don't just attend churches regularly or semi-regularly. Pick one and become a formal member. Walk through that process of church membership and become rooted and grounded in the truth and in love and in a local church. The second takeaway I would say from our three-part series would be, we want to be the kind of church that shepherds each other graciously. In the church, just realize it's hard. It's hard for your pastor. It's hard for your elders. Other sheep bite as well. And so just realize that you want to be aware that each church needs to be gracious with one another. And as you think about church membership, be patient, be gracious with one another. And then thirdly, I would say, I think it's important for you to take a deep look at the church's mission statement. Our mission statement, for example, is we exist to reveal the glory of God through our worship of Him, our work of service to one another, and our witness to the world. And really, a mission statement is just trying to give an overall arch of this is what we're all about. And if you can get behind that, then that would be a great church for you to look at. You just want to kind of see that spelled out in more detail. And so that you can make a decision of like, you know what, if this church isn't really oriented the way I believe the Bible is oriented in the right way, then I might need to find another church. But overall, I think the encouragement of this three-part series is find a gospel-preaching church with faithful shepherds and become a member and learn and grow there to the glory of God. Young man, that's what I'm challenging you to do as you put these sessions into practice. Let me pray for you as we close. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to evaluate what the scripture says about being a part of a local church. God, I pray for every young man listening to this show. If they're already in Christ, help them to get into a local church. Give them the wisdom and give them the grace to pick a church that truly preaches the word and that shepherds their people, and that this young man could be a beautiful part of a local assembly in a way that would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.